Today we are in part two of the sermon that we started last Sunday, living and walking in the Spirit. And the scripture text we use is in Romans chapter 8, verses 5 through 6 and 14 through 16, and also Galatians 5:25. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, those are sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but received the spirit of adoption by whom we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. Then the scripture in Galatians 5:25, if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. There are many, many divine appointments. Appointments ordained by God waiting for us if we simply learn to live and walk in the Spirit. This ideal of living and walking in the Spirit, it should be our constant aim. It should be the increasing experience of every believer in Jesus Christ. So look at these words with me for just a moment. This should be our prayer. Oh God, help us to see our need for Him, the Holy Spirit, for the awakening He brings. That awakening and refreshing should become the desire and passion of all of us. Our greatest priority on this earth should be that we attempt to put our lives at His disposal so that if He wills to use us, we are here to be used. Use me, Lord. Praise God. Last week we looked at the aspect of the Holy Spirit, the awesome power and fire of the Spirit. We made reference to the fact that in the New Testament, the Holy Spirit is referenced nearly 300 times. And many of those references are references associated with the power of the Holy Spirit. I'm reminding you of that scripture we looked at last week in Acts 1:8. But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. You shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and all Judea, Samaria, and to the end of the earth. That word wasn't just for the New Testament church. It was for all of us, all believers. We need His power when we face a situation that seems impossible. We need His power every day of our lives until Jesus comes. We will never make it if we're trying to do it in our own strength. If we're going to try to live this Christian life without His power of the Holy Spirit, His infilling and anointing of the Holy Spirit, if we fail to reach out to Him and look to Him for His help and His power, we will always fail because we're going to do it on our own strength rather than the strength and the power of God. You know, the Bible speaks of the cleansing fire and power of the Holy Spirit. But there's other aspects of the Holy Spirit that we're going to take a look at this morning. And this first one, the Comforter, John 15:16. And by the way, the scripture I'm using here is from the King James Version. I'm using the King James Version because in that version it references the Holy Spirit as the Comforter. The New King James will speak to Him as the Helper. Some different translations will say instead of helper or comforter, it'll use another expression. John 15:16, I will pray the Father, and He shall, and He shall give you another comforter, that He may abide with you forever. You know, how many of you know those old songs that we've sang before? The Comforter has come. You ever heard that song, The Comforter has come? Some of you familiar with that? That's an old song. Sure, you remember that song. The Comforter has come. The Comforter has come. You know, when you use the word comforter, what comes to mind for me is this. The Holy Spirit is kind of reaching down to us and just saying, there now. Don't cry. It is a way. The Holy Spirit's just there to help us when we need it. The actual Greek word in the text is parakletos or paraclete, which means to come along beside to help. In fact, there used to be, for years, every quarter, the Assembly of God ministers would get a little booklet called the Paraclete or Paraclete. And it was all focusing on the Holy Spirit. You get one every quarter. Brother Jerry Venable collected those, and from 1967 to 1988, he saved every single quarterly booklet, the Paraclete, which is all the teachings and effects and ministries of the Holy Spirit. He put them in notebooks and gave them to me as part of his library. I can't tell you how much I treasure that. Where's Melba? Is Melba here? I'll go to that listing. He put them in notebooks, Melba, from 67 to 81. Every year, they're organized. You know how organized Jerry was. They're organized, and I can go to those, and they're wonderful teachings on the Holy Spirit. I wish we still had that kind of help today coming from, well, that's another story. But see, in reality, the Holy Spirit, whether you call Him Comforter, whether you call Him Counselor, really what He's saying, what this expression is saying, that He comes along beside us, and at times when we need it, He's saying to us, come on, get up, you can manage, I'm here to help you. That's what the Holy Spirit is saying to us this morning. He gives us a strong word, not a soft word, not a weak word. He gives us a strong word of encouragement and help. When we're on the right track and when our intentions are right, what we sometimes need is a little backing and a little encouragement. And the Holy Spirit is there to give that to us. He's standing right beside us. And so often it seems like we forget this aspect of God. That sometimes we get to thinking that God is just that big mean cop up in the sky, just waiting for us to mess up so He can punish us or fall down with His judgment upon us. But I want to just remind myself and all of us today, God is our Father. He wants the best for us. He's ready to help us even when we're failing. He's there ready to be there to help us. And this role of the Holy Spirit as the Comforter is a reminder that He's there when we're weary. He's there when we're lonely. He's there when we're depressed. He's there when we're confused. He's there for us. I tell you, He's there. He is there in the darkness of night. When you're laying there in bed at night, you can't sleep and you're worrying about everything. And most of the stuff you're worrying about is stuff that hasn't even happened yet. Yet He's there. He's there when we're grieving, we've lost a loved one. He's there when sickness takes over our bodies and we're wondering how many more tomorrows we're going to have. He's there with us. Praise God for that incredible comfort and help by the Holy Spirit. Oh, when we live and we walk in His Spirit, we're walking and living in the comforting presence of the Holy Spirit. Another aspect is this ideal of guidance. In John 16 and 13, however, when He, the Spirit of truth, has come, He will guide you. You notice I got that underlined. He'll guide you into all truth, for He will not speak of His own authority, but whatever He speaks, He will speak, and He will tell you things to come. The power of God speaking to us to guide us. Do you need His guidance? Do you need His help? Do you need His give you a discernment and understanding? When Jesus was on the earth, Jesus referenced the fact that it was the Father who gave Him the commandments that He should say and speak. Listen to these words of Christ in John 12, 49 and 50. These are the words of Jesus. For I have not spoken on my own authority, but the Father who sent me gave me a command what I should say and what I should speak. Now this is Jesus saying this. The Father has given this to Him, and I know that His command is everlasting life. Therefore, whatever I speak, just as the Father has told me, so I speak. Now that the Holy Spirit has come, it is He who is doing the work of the Father for us, you and I as believers. Romans 8 and 14 declares, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Are you being led by His Spirit? Are you allowing your life to be under the influence and leading of the Holy Spirit and the guidance in your life? We need that guidance. We need that guidance in our lives today more than ever. We need His guidance to direct us in truth and to help us rightly discern truth. As we listen to many of the ministers and teachers that are on the radio, that are on television, that write many books, all those folks that are teaching, I want to tell you right now, not all of them are on the mark when it comes to the truth of the Word of God. There's a few of them that are off the mark just a little bit. Now, there's many of them I love to read and listen to. I've read many of Dr. David Jeremiah's books, and I listen to him, and he blesses me. Dr. David Reagan is another one. I think I've read every book that Dr. David Reagan has written, and they always encourage me, and they bless me, and they instruct me in many wonderful things. There's many other great men of God that was solid teaching out there. But there's a few that missed the mark. I call them the babblers of bullcorn. They're out there shouting and saying things that are inconsistent with the Word of God. That's why we must have the Holy Spirit to direct us and to guide us and help us know what truth is. That rightly dividing the Word of God according to Scripture. The difficult thing, look at this, the difficult thing about guidance is not the receiving or recognizing of it, it's truly wanting it. So that we come to God stripped, honest, without pretense. Then He can speak directly to our hearts. We must stop and ask ourselves this question. Do we really want to receive His guidance? Or are our prayers only trying to win God's approval for decisions that we've already made? Or our prayers only trying to get God's approval for the plans we've already begun without God? You understand what I'm saying here today? His guidance, all we need is guidance. His guidance is there for us. It can be direct, it can be indirect through our circumstances. Sometimes we're always looking for yes or no answers, and perhaps the answer is simply we just wait for the will of God to be shown to us in the events that will follow, because He hears our and He answers when He hears, and He's bringing it to pass for us if we'll just wait on the Lord. Abraham Lincoln once said, he said, "I'm satisfied that when the Almighty wants me to do or not to do a particular thing, He finds a way of letting me know." Now, Abraham Lincoln early in his life was not a man of faith too much at all. But I promise you that toward the end of his life, those years in the White House leading the nation during the Civil War, the death of his son, so many tragedies, this man drew close to Jesus. This man had a strong faith in Christ. And you and I, as we walk in the Spirit, we will feel, we will know the guidance of the Holy Spirit in our lives if we're earnestly seeking it. Don't let the enemy get you to thinking that you will never find or know God's plan for your life. That is a lie. God wants you to understand His plan for your life. He wants to reveal it by His Holy Spirit so that we'll know His way, His ideas, His intimate plans for each of us. Another aspect of the Holy Spirit is conviction. Conviction, by the way, this ideal of conviction was predicted by Jesus when He said that the Spirit would convict the world of sin. The real reason, are you still with me today? The real reason that so many of us get so little guidance is that we're seeking direction without being willing to receive conviction first. Did you hear that? We're seeking direction without being willing to receive conviction or correction first. And unless we let the Holy Spirit remove those great roadblocks that might be disobedience or sin or things in our life that's not pleasing to God, unless we're willing to allow the Holy Spirit to redirect that and convict that in us, then we can never expect Him to show us the right path that we need to go on, because we got to deal with that other issue first that God needs to convict us of. Sometimes we've just got to let ourselves undergo the uncomfortable experience of being convicted of something that's not right in our life. Pastor, you think believers need that? Absolutely, believers need that. Yes, sometimes the Holy Spirit is the discomforter, if you understand what I'm saying when I say that. As believers, we know this is true. Sin is what gets between you and me and our Heavenly Father. Sin comes between us. Sin is what gets between us and other people. Sin is what gets between them and God many times. Whether it's sin, whether that sin is maybe too much of a desire for material and financial things. The sin may just be demanding our own way, demanding our own understanding of things. Maybe it's the sin of persistence and having a long-standing resentment or anger or unforgiveness or harsh feelings towards somebody else. Maybe it's the sin of indulgence of the body, but whatever the sin may be, until we let go of it, we're not really honestly asking for God's guidance because we've not dealt with this issue that He needs to convict us of that's not right in our lives. Conviction may have to come before direction. Look at the scripture with me in John 16:8-11. When He has come, He will convict the world of sin. These are the words of Jesus. And of righteousness and judgment. Of sin because they did not believe in me. Of righteousness because I go to my Father and you see me no more. Of judgment because the ruler of this world is judged. A television preacher. He's also authored many books. He's a television preacher. He's very well known. He teaches that this ideal of conviction when it comes to believers, that the Holy Spirit only convicts believers of righteousness, never sin. He teaches that it is inappropriate for a believer to ask for forgiveness because once we're a believer, then later if we ask for forgiveness, that we're living in legalism. That's his point of view, and it's wrong, and it's inconsistent with Scripture. In 2 Timothy 3:16-17, the Bible says, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God, is profitable. Listen to this next part. It's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. Let me tell you, reproof and correction is conviction. The Word of God can bring that correction, reproof, or conviction that we need. The Scripture does that. The Holy Spirit corrects and convicts us of our errors, of our sins, so that we will be complete in God, our Heavenly Father, according to that Scripture. Even in Hebrews 12:5, and have you forgotten the exhortation which speaks to you as sons? My son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord. Are you hearing that? Nobody likes to be chastened, corrected by God. Do not despise the chastening of the Lord, nor be discouraged when you're rebuked by Him. Who is God chastening and rebuking? He's chastening and rebuking His sons and daughters, His children. Did you chasten and give guidance and direction and punishment to your children? To get them corrected, to get them on the right track? Of course, as a good parent, I hope you did. Just as God does to us. Whom the Lord loves, He chastens, it says, and scourges every son whom He receives. Really? Does God do that to us? What's the Word of God tell us? Yes, it does. If God provides chastening and rebuke of believers, could we not think that the Holy Spirit would not provide conviction of things in our lives that is wrong? Of course He does. Revelation 3:16-17. So then, because you say, I'm rich, become wealthy, and have need of nothing, and do not know that you're wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. Those are the words of Christ in the book of Revelation to one of the churches. He's saying to one of the churches, you think you've got everything under control. You're so self-reliant. You don't even begin to understand that you're wretched. You're wretched, you're miserable, you're poor, you're blind, and you're naked. He's saying that to the church, isn't he? He's saying that to a people who once had a passion, burning passion in their hearts for Jesus Christ. And they became cold in their spirit, they became cold in their hearts, and they still need the convicting power of the Holy Spirit to get them to repentance and get their hearts right with God. Another aspect of the Holy Spirit, when we walk in the Spirit, is to be able to bring hope and salvation in the name of Jesus to another person. You and I individually sharing our faith in Christ to another individual. Another, there's a great example of that being led by the Spirit Being led by the Spirit is what we're talking about today. Living and walking in the Spirit, being led by the Spirit to go up to someone. Maybe it's a friend, somebody you know. Maybe it's a stranger. But there's like this divine urge and Spirit-led initiative that you must speak to them and talk to them and somehow bring up the subject of Jesus. Great example in the book of Acts. The Bible tells us that Philip was in Jerusalem. And the angel of God appeared to him and says, Philip, I want you to go down the desert road to Gaza. Yes, that same Gaza that's in the news today. I want you to go down the desert road to Gaza. The angel didn't tell Philip what he was going to do or anything. He just said, I want you to go down that road to Gaza. Philip was obedient to what the angel of the Lord told him. When he got there, he saw an Ethiopian eunuch. And that eunuch was in his chariot and he was reading the Word of God. And the Bible says the Holy Spirit told Philip, go up to that man and talk to that man. Philip went up to him, and he says, what are you reading? And he says, I'm reading the 53rd chapter of Isaiah, but I don't understand it. I don't understand what it's telling me. How can I understand it? I need somebody to help me. And what did Philip do? He realized at that moment it was a divine appointment, didn't he? He knew that the Holy Spirit had led him right up to that man in that chariot to walk up to him. This was Ethiopian eunuch that was in charge of the treasury of all the queen of Ethiopia. He wasn't just some nobody. He was a royalty, a man of stature, of authority. Philip went right up to him and he said, what you're reading here in this 53rd chapter of Isaiah, the chapter of the suffering servant, that servant is the Son of God, is Jesus Christ. That servant is going to die. He has died for you, he told that man. He died on that cross for you. So great was God's love. He shared the gospel with that man. The man gave his heart to Jesus. They went down the road. Philip baptized him. It's an incredible story of being led by the Spirit of God to a divine appointment. God wants to use you and me that way. There's someone out there that needs the hope and salvation and knowledge and joy and faith of Christ. And if we're led by the Spirit, as we walk in the Spirit, there will be other divine appointments for you and me. And the passion for the lost, that passion comes as a work of the Spirit, a belief that every day there's someone out there that God's going to connect you with that you can give a word to that would be a blessing to them, maybe just what they need to hear. So, you know, today, there are millions and millions of Christians all over the world that can tell you that the Holy Spirit is the third person in the Holy Trinity, but do they know Him? Have they experienced the Holy Spirit in their lives? In the early church, we know those in that upper room were set on fire by the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Now, they didn't have any theological understanding. They had experience. They didn't have theories. They had the living power instead of explanations. They experienced it. They knew what it was to be in the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit to fall upon them. Living in the walking of in the Spirit in our individual lives enables us to know the Holy Spirit firsthand, to experience Him, the Holy Spirit, in a personal and wonderful way. There's a fellow by the name of Dr. Carl Bates. Dr. Carl Bates pastored the First Baptist Church in Amarillo for almost 10 years, from 1950 to 1959. Dr. Carl Bates was an intensely spiritual man of God. And look at the words that Dr. Carl Bates once said. If God calls His Holy Spirit out of the world, about 95% of what we're doing would go on and we'd brag about it. I'm going to let that sink in for a minute. It begs the question, what are you doing that you can't get done unless the power of God falls on you by His Holy Spirit? What it's really saying is, what Dr. Carl Bates' question is emphasizing, is so much of what we do it through our own initiative, our own gifts, our own talents, our own mental abilities, our own thoughts, rather than that surrender and say, I can do nothing. I can do nothing without You, Father, and without the Holy Spirit guiding and directing and helping me be the person that You've called me to be in Christ. What the church truly needs, What you and I individually truly need is the Holy Spirit. Oh, we need the Holy Spirit with fire and power. We need the Holy Spirit with His comfort. We need the Holy Spirit with His guidance, His conviction, and His passion that He puts within you and me for the lost around us that need Jesus. I tell you, when the church has this power, the world gets intrigued. When the church has the power of the Holy Spirit, the world gets convicted. And when the church has that power of the Holy Spirit, the world gets converted. And no one can do this on their own, by themselves. But here's the thing. When we're all praying for it, when we're all walking in the Spirit, when we're all trusting in the Holy Spirit to guide us and to lead us, then we open the door to the power of the Holy Spirit, to the presence of the Holy Spirit, not only to be in our lives, but to be in this place of worship. We walk in here to worship Him, to touch lives, to bring signs and wonders and miracles in the presence of God in this place of worship. That's my heart's desire. Let us pray this prayer deeply and pray it often. I need the Holy Spirit. I want the Holy Spirit. I pray for the Holy Spirit. I wait for the Holy Spirit. Father, oh Father, touch our hearts. Jesus, touch our hearts today. Help us in our understanding of Your work, of Your Spirit in us and in this world today. Help us surrender. Let us lay all pretense aside. God, to cry out with an earnest desire to be touched by Your Spirit, to be led and comforted. God, to be guided. God, to be convicted when it is needed. God, to have that passion for the lost in our hearts. To be an active daily seeker of Your presence by Your Spirit, to be having the faith to trust You, to give us those divine appointments orchestrated by heaven, to touch lives of those around us that need encouragement, that need blessing, that need hope, that need Jesus. That's our prayer today. Hear our prayer. Let it be our prayer each day. In the mighty name of Jesus, we ask You these things, and we thank You now. The ministry of the Comforter, the Holy Spirit in our lives. Thank You, Father. Thank You, Jesus. We praise You today. Thank You, Lord. Amen. Amen.